Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I did a video recently where I said that somebody made a really dumb argument, and I pointed out that the argument was so dumb that I was kind of confounded as to how somebody could actually file it with a straight face. And I pointed out that lawyers aren't supposed to file dumb arguments with the court. And I've had several people ask me, say, but Steve, I hear about crazy lawsuits all the time. How is that possible? Are there really rules about what attorneys can file and not file? And I tell you, there are. So let's discuss these rules. I'm going to talk to you about the Michigan rules, but I'm letting you know right now that my understanding is that most states have similar rules, and I'll explain why I believe that to be true. I've not examined the rules of all 50 states. Last time I counted, we had 50. So the first thing I'm going to tell you right now is there's a couple different things that govern the behavior of attorneys. And the first one is the rules of ethics. There are ethical rules that attorneys are supposed to follow. Then there are the laws or the court rules. So in Michigan, for instance, the ethical rules talk about how I conduct myself with respect to my clients, with respect to the court, with respect to the public, with respect to you, whichever you may be. And those are the ethical rules. The court rules address how I conduct myself specifically in a courtroom, especially with respect to things I file, lawsuits, motions, pleadings, things of that nature, okay? So first of all, let's talk about the ethical rules. And I can tell you right now that Michigan's rules are modeled on the model rules that are put out by the American Bar Association. The American Bar Association is the national organization, but you're not required to be a member of the ABA to be an attorney. You got to be a member of your state bar. So I'm a member of the Michigan Bar. So we have the Michigan Rules of Professional Conduct, the MRPCs, and the MRPCs are modeled off the model rules of ethics. So I can tell you right now that in Michigan, we got MRPC 3.1, and 3.1 is entitled Meritorious Claims and Contentions. A lawyer shall not, that's prohibitive, shall not bring or defend a proceeding or assert or controvert an issue therein unless there is a basis for doing so that is not frivolous. So that says right there that you cannot make an argument or defend something if your doing so is frivolous. You cannot file a frivolous lawsuit. If you're being sued, you can't raise a frivolous defense. A lawyer may offer a good faith argument for an extension, modification, or reversal of existing law. So let's suppose the law says something, and you think the law is wrong. You or your attorney are allowed to argue against the law, but you must admit that the law says that. And this is one of the things that I see a lot of young attorneys in particular miss, where they think, they go, well, I know I'm allowed to go in and argue against that law. So I've seen a judge say, well, excuse me, sir or ma'am, your position is this, but the law is this, isn't it? And I've seen an attorney go, no, the law is this. No. The law is what the law is, and you should acknowledge that. And you should say, however, we have a good faith belief that we think the law is wrong, it's unjust, it needs to be modified, reversed, extended, or whatever, but we would like to change the law. But you should be able to at least agree on what the settled law is. And it drives me crazy because from time to time I'm in court, I watch arguments between attorneys. Sometimes I'm not even involved in them, I'm just watching. And occasionally I've been involved in them where the judge will say, can you guys at least agree on what the law is? And I've seen it where, no, we can't even agree on that. And the judge will say, well, isn't there a case? And the judge will cite a well-known case and say, doesn't the case say this? And someone will go, I don't believe that's controlling law. It's not? Well, tell me what case overturned it. Well, I just disagree with it. Okay, you disagree with it means it is controlling law, but you want the law to be altered, changed, reversed, whatever. But you have to admit it is, in fact, the law. So the first thing you need to do is understand what the law is and are you arguing for it or against it? If you're arguing against it, you need to offer a good faith argument for the extension, modification, or reversal of the existing law. Okay? Now, a lawyer for the defendant in a criminal proceeding or the respondent in a proceeding that could result in incarceration, being locked up, may so defend the proceeding as to require that every element of the case be established. So what that's getting at is if you are defending somebody who's guilty as the day is long, and you know the prosecution can prove every single element of their case, you are allowed to make the prosecution do that because that's their job. Your client might be guilty at the end of the trial, but at the beginning of the trial, your client is not guilty because they're presumed not guilty unless they're proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And that hasn't happened until the trial takes place. So you can make them jump through all the hoops. That's not a frivolous defense. You're allowed to do that in a criminal proceeding if they're facing incarceration. However, in a civil lawsuit, for instance, like I said, you cannot bring a frivolous claim or a frivolous defense. And if you are arguing against the law, you must admit that you're doing so because you have a good faith argument in the extension, modification, or reversal of existing law. So with respect to the attorney in Mississippi who says an illegal alien is not a person under the 14th Amendment, the Supreme Court has already ruled that they are people under the 14th Amendment. So if they are persons under the amendment, then the man who was killed, if he was in fact a person, you can't argue and say the 14th Amendment doesn't protect him unless you are willing to say the Supreme Court has said he's a person, but we think that the law needs to be extended, modified, or reversed, and we've got a good faith argument for doing so. So for them to say, no, simply, that's not how the law works, well, that is how the law works. So again, the rules of ethics in Michigan and in most states say that a lawyer should not bring or defend a proceeding or assert or controvert an issue unless there's a basis for doing so that is not frivolous. And if you're going against existing law, you must be making a good faith argument for the extension, modification, or reversal of that law, but you have to be able to admit that to the court. Now, I said yesterday that there's court rules in Michigan that specifically address the behavior of attorneys. And attorneys sign documents all the time. My signature on a document filed in court has a different meaning than my signature on a piece of paper that I hand to a fan backstage at a concert. Just kidding. It's about a rock star. But Michigan court rules say specifically effect of signature. The signature of an attorney constitutes a certification that he or she has read the document to the best of his or her knowledge and belief formed after a reasonable inquiry. The document is well grounded in fact and is warranted by existing law or a good faith argument for the extension, modification, or reversal of existing law. Wait a second, that sounds vaguely familiar to the rules of ethics. And so what has Michigan done? The Michigan Supreme Court, which promulgates our rules, said, in essence, we're going to codify that ethical rule. So in Michigan, we're going to require you to behave ethically. And if you sign a document, you better sign that document ethically, meaning that you have done a reasonable inquiry and then formed a belief that to the best of your knowledge, the document you just signed is well grounded in fact and is warranted by existing law or a good faith argument for the extension, modification, or reversal of existing law. So if I was to go into court in Michigan and sign a document and say this man was present in Michigan, but he was an undocumented immigrant, therefore, the 14th Amendment does not apply to him because either Michigan's not a state or he's not a person, and that's good case law. I could be sanctioned for filing a frivolous document and signing it in a manner contrary to this rule, okay? And if I instead said, the man's an undocumented immigrant, he's in Michigan, which is a state, but the 14th Amendment doesn't cover him because case law says so. Well, that's not what case law says. The Supreme Court's ruled and said that people who are present in the United States are covered by the 14th Amendment. And again, that'd be in contravention to this rule. I could be sanctioned for that. The only way I could make that argument with a straight face and sign the document and get away with it is if I said, this man is present in the state of Michigan. He was a person as contemplated by the 14th Amendment. And the Supreme Court has ruled that he's a person. However, we have a good faith belief that the law needs to be modified, extended, changed, whatever. And we believe that the Supreme Court will reverse itself if we ever get there. If I signed that document and phrased it that way, I could get away with it. And a court would look at me and go, dude, you're an idiot. Sorry. And overrule me. Now, I could then appeal that and appeal that and appeal that. And if I got it to the Supreme Court of the United States and they agreed with me, they could overturn all the lower courts and say, you know something, we're changing all our jurisprudence on this. And in fact, we're now going to say that persons inside the United States are not necessarily persons because of some wackadoodle concept. They could do that. But I would have to plead it that way to avoid sanctions, because I'll tell you right now that the next section under effective signature, which is D as in David, is E as in Erica. Sanctions for violation. If a document is signed in violation of this rule, the court, on its own motion or on the motion of a party, shall impose upon the person who signed it an appropriate sanction, which may include an order to pay the other party or parties the amount of the reasonable expenses incurred because of the filing of the document, including reasonable attorney fees. The court may not assess punitive damages, however. So Michigan doesn't like punitive damages. You can do almost anything you want here and not get punitive damages against you, but you'd have actual costs and expenses for the other side's attorney fees for you interposing a frivolous claim or defense. So keep in mind that there's more. In addition to sanctions under this rule, a party pleading a frivolous claim or defense is subject to costs as provided elsewhere in this set of rules. But the point is that if you're going to make a stupid argument in court, there's really only one way to do it. And by stupid argument, I mean an argument that goes against the face of all established case law. You've got to stand up in court and say, Your Honor, my client is taking the position that is contrary to the law. The law says this, but we believe the law is wrong. It needs to be this. And here is our argument for changing, modify, reversing, extending, whatever it is, but altering the law. Here's why the law needs to be changed. And then you make the argument about changing the law. But to go into court and say, this is established case law, no, it's not. No, it's not. We're going to ignore the established case law and just ask the court to rule on something. That's where you get in trouble. So I know this might be a little nuanced of an argument to be making on my show, because I often talk about things that are much more concrete, like, you know, people doing stupid stuff, people getting arrested for dumb things. But I know a lot of people think that attorneys make crazy arguments all the time. But you have to realize there's a distinction. You know, my guy didn't do it. He says he didn't do it. Your witness says he did. Who's to say which is crazy there, okay? But when an attorney walks into court and tells the judge and says, this is established case law, when everyone knows it's not, if the attorney signed a document saying that, the attorney can be sanctioned. And there are cases where I think the attorneys ought to be sanctioned. So there you have it. Meritorious claims and contentions. There's rules and ethics, and there's court rules on it. Hope you understood it. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.